I've told you this before, and I'll tell you again, sometimes how unique it is that God speaks to me. Well, that's unique, that God speaks to me. And so I put my comma in the wrong spot. But he speaks, and he speaks in places and times is like, wow. So I guess what happens is I just have to learn to be obedient to what he says. And that's what my desire is to be obedient to what he says and to be able to try to obey that he has spoken. I think years ago, I actually heard this man speak in person. Sometimes I can't remember years and years and decades ago. But Pastor Randy Vellamott, who pastored Assembly of God Church in Griffin, Georgia, and he made some statements later, and I want to give them to you. And so I want to direct these short statements before I preach to these graduates. But I really think that God has an amazing plan for young people that can come to a place where they recognize there's now another step. It's a completely different step. And when they sense that, they know it. And so this pastor made this statement. He said this. He said, three of our high school seniors were at their public school and they noticed their teacher was in pain. And during her lecture, she could hardly get through it. The pain was so great. So during a break in the class, these three seniors went and they asked her, what is wrong? And she told them that she had a migraine. So they asked if they could just lay hands on her and pray quietly for the Lord to touch her headache. She agreed, and the three students prayed for her, and immediately, say immediately, and immediately the migraine left, and the teacher went to the other teachers in the lounge. Now that sounds like an incredible miracle also to me, is that you would begin to hear something like this taking place in the lounge. So the teacher went to the others and told them, and all of her colleagues, she says, what has happened? And she says, this is what happened is I was having such a migraine and three of our students came up and said, ma'am, can we pray for you? And they laid hands on me and prayed for me. And she said, immediately I was healed. Well, I think that's pretty incredible. So immediately another teacher said to her these words, says, you know what, I have cancer. And says, if that can happen to you, I'd like them to pray for me also. So the teachers invited the students to come to school early the next morning so they could lay hands on this teacher. They began to pray for him the next morning. And all of a sudden, this is what happened. As they laid hands upon him, something they knew was happening, he finally went to the doctor the following Tuesday for checkup. And the doctor was amazed. He said, the previous month's test had showed that your cancer was spreading. And without a full round of chemotherapy, something amazing has happened. And he looked at the teacher and he said, what did you do? And he explained to them, the three young men that prayed for him, just like the teacher prior. And he looked at him and he says, all I can tell you is this, teacher, you are cancer free. You are cancer free. Isn't that amazing? I think that's incredible. Praise God. Praise God. So, with that thought in mind to you seniors, I pray that you know that your God is still there. And he goes with you everywhere you go. Amen? And the next best thing is that your pastor is paying attention to you. And if that doesn't work, you can call me and I'll help you out. Amen. This morning, I'd like to share a message with you that I think we need to know. So I'm wondering if I could get Shane, can you put that whiteboard to where you can still see me? Because I'm afraid you'll fall asleep if I'm not watching you over there. I want to write this on the whiteboard. On the back of your bulletins, you may want to write this too. First thing I want you to know is that is Spanish. Shane, I knew it. I knew if I did that, I couldn't see you. I'm kidding. I'm teasing you. There you go. Some years ago, there were renovators, and they were working, and they were working at the Auckland Castle, 500 years old. And earlier in the year, they exposed an original framing around a door casing. And it was this door casing that the butlers would go in and out under this door casing, and they would come into the kitchen, and they would get the food, the preservations, and all they needed, bring it back to where the people in the castle were sitting, and they were entertaining, and they would then spread out the spread. And so the butler's pantry and the dining room had this over the top, this framing between it. And inscribed in the wooden panel above the door were these words, Es Dio Gracia. Es Dio Gracia. So when the butler would come from the kitchen into the dining, he would go under the words, Es Dio Gracia. And when he would come back, he would go under the same words. And what's really interesting to me, I said Spanish, but actually a form of Spanish, it's Latin. A Latin phrase, and here's what it means, quote, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. I have to tell you, there are some times I don't practice what I'm going to preach. I have reasons for not always practicing that. Sometimes my reasons, they don't really cut much. And really, honestly, it don't stand for much. But I find that sometimes I've allowed myself to be discouraged. I've allowed myself to have attitude. I know that I've willfully maybe disobeyed. And I find myself in a place that maybe even pride has taken in. And so there is no way am I going to ever say during this time frame, thanks be to God. It's obvious that the people that owned in Auckland, they owned this castle, and this is what they intended. They intended that when all of the servers would come from the kitchen and come under this massive or this incredible ark that they had put these words on, they would come under, and if you were on the eating side of it, you would see them coming with all of the food, and there, as they're holding it in their hands, you would see these words, Es Dio Gracia, and they recognized that those three Latin words meant, thanks be to God. So the owners and those that were there that owned the castle was saying to the people eating with them, let's give thanks. Let's give thanks be to God. Thanks to Him for who He is and what He has done and how He works in our lives. Amen? I have these kind of thoughts that go in my heart sometimes because I'm thinking, Lord, this seems like it's not a real big deal. I mean, honestly, we should be probably right now looking at Jerusalem and be looking at the possibility of, is there some way that there could be the beginning foundation of a new temple that we know that is ushering in the 70th week of Daniel? Or we should be just trying to figure out Armageddon and how does it really work and what are the nations of the earth? And you know what? We should be in something much deeper. Because, man, we got to get into stuff that's deeper in this generation. I'd like to present to you this morning that is deep. Yeah. Yeah. How often I think we don't thank the Lord enough. We don't give the Lord praise enough. We don't honor Him for whom is all honor due. Praise God. Amen. If you were Sherry Harpole this morning and you were here in the sanctuary with us, Sherry, raise your hand and just wave at everybody. Stand up so they can see you. You're too small back there. Sherry, raise your hand. You can be seated, thanks. Do you realize how thankful Sherry Harpole ought to be this morning? honestly. And she doesn't even know why she should be thankful. She'll be at the altar thanking God in a minute. You know what? I came out on the, I can't tell you which road it is, but I came on a road this way, and I stopped my car, and Donna's beside me. And she's always my co-pilot, and for some reason, she didn't say anything. That's harder for me to drive. And I'm sitting in my car, and I'm just stopped at this road, and I thought, well, it's time. I got to get going. And so I started to go on the road, and I went about maybe 5 feet, and I thought, maybe I better look again. And as I look, I see a car coming. I go, oh, no. And I put it in reverse because I don't want anybody ever to see that I got that far out and wasn't. So I put it in reverse. Anybody ever have anything like this happen to you? And I put it in reverse. And it's amazing because as I'm sitting there now and Donna's thinking, I don't know what that really meant, but I know it wasn't good and I had to pay attention. And all of a sudden, this car goes zooming by. Actually, it wasn't zooming. It was doing the speed limit. And I saw it go by, and I'm stunned. And I told Don, I said, do you know who that was? That was Sherry Harpole. I said, honey, do you realize? Can you imagine what would people have said if Sherry Harpole's pastor T-boned her on road so-and-so and so-and-so? I mean, think about that. Can you imagine? On the way to church, I'm just going to church, and my pastor runs into me, T-bones my car, and now I'm in trouble. So what is Sherry doing this morning? She's what all of us should be doing probably more than anything, is we should be thanking God. Thanks be to God. Memorize those words, Sherry. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. That's my sermon. Wasn't that a great time? Thanks be to God. Praise God. Wouldn't it be great to begin to engrave phrases on the lintels of our minds? Wouldn't it be great to be able to engrave on our hearts and our thought patterns, thanks be to God? How wonderful it would be to recognize that every blessing that God sends as it comes our way is to say thanks be to God. I think that gratitude is the attitude that reclaims a spiritual heart and soul in times of disappointment and distress. However bleak our circumstances can be, however bleak, there is no reason for you and I to hold back. Thanks be to God. Amen. Never. I think all of us were probably stunned years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago now, when we began to see pictures that were coming out of the Middle East, and we saw these young men that were in orange jumpsuits, and they were walking along the Mediterranean Sea. How many know, remember the story? And these were Coptic Christians. That means they were Christians that served Christ from Egypt. And they had been taken captive, literally, by Hamas and the groups that were there. And as you and I watched the whole scenario, anything that I don't know how much you saw or you didn't see, I know that it was something that was beyond anything that you and I could have ever imagined on that sandy beach in the Mediterranean. There, the remains of Christians slain in Libya were returned to their families in Egypt. But in history, something interesting took place. One of the fathers of the victims, whose son was one of the young men that would not recant their faith, they would not recant their faith to Christ. And that was the whole object, was to deny Christ in the presence of Allah. And they wouldn't do it. And this young man's father, when I began to understand and read more about it, I began to read like him. What he said was, he said, this was my son. He died a hero, and his brothers, martyrs, and they did not abandon their faith. And this is what he said. He said, thanks be to God for what my son has done in life. You know what? thanks be to God doesn't measure sometimes in our thought patterns. It's like it's way too deep water. It's like we should be angry or frustrated or we give up or we just move in a whole different direction. But I don't think there's anything in life that doesn't actually allow the depth of thanks be to God to be in our lives. It just doesn't. So this morning you have your Bibles and I need you to go with me. I'm going to do it where you're going to turn with me and we're going to look together. But I want to look at five places. I want to look at five places that are in consecutive in the books of Romans and in the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians. Five times, Paul thanks God and he gives thanks to God. And I'd like to look at the context of what he's trying to say. Would you go to Romans this morning? I don't know if I ask you this or not, but Romans chapter 6. I'd like to read in this sixth chapter some amazing things. So I'm asking you to read with me in the King James. I need you to follow because I want to read through these five places in three books. Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians. I want to read through, three books, but what God is going to say about thanks. So in the sixth chapter, beginning in verse 15, it says this. What then shall we say? Shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. So I want to start, first of all, with understanding something. Is that we're beginning to read a passage that Paul is talking about, thanks be to God for setting us free. How many has found freedom in Christ? It is, it's true, and it's real. Verse 15 says, but then when we sin, because we have are not under the law, under grace, God forbid. Know you not to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants you are to obey. What is Paul saying? He's saying who you yield yourself, your mind, your heart, your parts, all parts of your life, who you yield to, you will become servants to that. And ultimately, if it's not of Christ in righteousness, it's of sin. He says, whether of sin unto death or obedience to righteousness. 17. I love this. But thanks be to God. Say that with me. But thanks be to God that you are the servants. But thanks be to God that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that from the form of doctrine for which it was delivered to you. 18. Being there made free from sin, you have become the servants of the Lord. I put that in there, the Lord in righteousness. Verse 17, thanks be to God. You were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart, and you have been delivered. So I'm just going to tell you, if you'd like to look up here for just a minute, I am so grateful this morning that you and I can together say thanks be to God. Because we have been delivered from sin. Sin is a tremendously powerful a part of the unrighteous part of Satan's kingdom that wants to drag you and I into darkness. And I'm here to declare to you this morning that God is a powerful God. And I want to also declare to you right now that the Lord can take my life and can give me hope and give me solace to where I don't have to follow sin any longer. Every one of us who might think, Pastor, I can't break that sin. I can't break this thing. It's too strong for me. I'm going to declare to you these four words in English. And I'm going to declare to you and tell you, thanks be to God. Yes, you can. Thanks be to God for the power that's in Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. And I believe when you and I recognize this, S.D.O. Garcia, that when we come under that banner that Jesus, there isn't anything that he cannot do by his holy power. Amen. Take and follow with me to the seventh chapter. You're almost there. Just go to the seventh chapter of Romans. I'd like to begin reading. Verse 18. For I know that in me, there that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. 19. For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, now if I would not do that which I would, it is more than I do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against my mind and bringing into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? Here's the answer. Whether it's in the law of my mind or the law of my heart, the law of my members, any part of my members, here's the answer, verse 25. I thank God. Say that with me. I thank God. In other words, thanks be to God. What am I talking about? I'm talking that God has the power to give us victory over the power of sin as well. Thanks be to God. Isn't that amazing? Because anything that would try to take away from my desire to serve Christ and to hold me captive, thanks be to God that He has the power to destroy that work. Amen. So I read it again in verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, and with the flesh, the law of sin. Praise God. O wretched man, verse 24, that I am, who will deliver me from this? Verse 25, I thank God. Amen. If I said to you this morning, I said, would you like to stand and give testimony to His power of what He has broken in your life and He's given you hope? As I've shared with you earlier, thanks be to God for setting us free. Amen? Amen. Can you do that? Of course you can. How about now? And I say to you, I say thanks be to God for the victory that's in your life. Can you do that? Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Thanks be to God. It may not be thanks be to man, and it may not be thanks to maybe even the Bible study that you attend. It may not be according to even some of the things that you've been trying to figure out in certain books and whatever. But I'm telling you this is the key. Yes. Thanks be to God. Amen. For He has the answer. All answer. Amen. I think God is so amazing, don't you? I can't tell you how long ago I saw this, but in 2018 is when it happened, about that time period. I'd like to read some of it, and I'll share it with you, and we'll go from there. I'm not going to die here, I said to myself as I fought for my life in the sea. It was June the 2nd, 2017. The last day of a 7-day cruise from the Caribbean. My husband JJ and I were excited to explore the Nassau, Bahamas. And we had gone parasailing that morning. And we were now snorkeling in the afternoon. We got a great deal from a local water sport company that took us out to the coral reef known for good snorkeling. And we began to snorkel for about 20 minutes when my husband JJ made his way back to the boat saying, honey, I don't feel well. You stay in the water. I'm going to go back to the boat. It wasn't more than 10 minutes from that time that JJ had left that I bumped into something. And when I turned to see what I bumped into, I was face to face with a shark. The shark had my whole arm in its mouth. By the way, this is a true story. The shark had my entire arm, it was her right arm, in his mouth. And at first it wasn't thrashing or fighting, it was just staring at me, intently. Fear overtook me, and I started to have thoughts of my three children. It was like a movie reel coming out, a perpetual vision, but the Lord gave me strength to fight. I remember thinking, no, No, you are not going to take my life. I yanked my arm, and that's when the fight began. There was blood everywhere, and I kept screaming through my snorkel. And eventually, the shark stopped fighting. The jaw opened, and my arm popped out. I remember looking down, and my arm was completely gone. All that was left was a stump. Now say thanks be to God. I don't know if we mean that. I'm not being funny. But I think there are some amazing and unbelievable challenges in life. Thanks be to God doesn't quite stack up, does it? At least we think. Blood was everywhere. I kept screaming. Everywhere. I remember looking down, now just a stump. I was in a flurry of emotions, but I didn't say anything else. I couldn't stay in that moment. I flipped over to my left side and I yanked off my snorkel mask and I screamed out, "Help! Help! Help me, Jesus!" I started swimming back to the boat with my left arm, which is my non-dominant arm. And I clearly remember thinking, "Get your arm out of the water." As I came within view of the boat, I put my injured arm up in the air, hoping JJ would see. JJ turned and looked at me in shock. And he saw my severed arm spraying blood everywhere and screamed, "Baby!" And as he did, he jumped in the water and grabbed me. I fervently prayed that the Holy Spirit would help me. And then between breath, I yelled out, "Help, Jesus! Jesus, help! Help me, Jesus!" My husband helped guide me back to the boat. He and the boat captain lifted me out, and there I was. I could barely move. I noticed my husband and said, "Please get me something to stop the bleeding." I spotted a beach towel that had been brought with us, grabbed it, and he began to wrap my arm as tightly as possible. I laid my head on his lap and I closed my eyes and prayed as we made our way to shore. About 30 minutes of boat ride, we made it back to land. I had emergency surgery in the Bahamas and then was transported back to the United States, to North Carolina, awaiting another surgery. I opened my devotional that morning before the next surgery, and the scripture began to pop out. This scripture. I know I have you in Romans, and I'm going to take you to Corinthians in just a minute, but I want you to go to Psalms. I want you to go to Psalms, please. Chapter 18. You know, it's amazing how much God can prove that He is there. I've always wanted to preach a sermon on the subject of there. I just wanted to preach on there. I've never done it yet. I've wanted to preach on there because there is God. And He's the God that is there. And He is their God. And when you think about how powerful the word there is, you just go on and on and on. Listen to this. She picked up her reading for the morning, and I can't imagine even that. I don't know what I would have been doing. And God took her that morning to Psalms 18. So are you there now? Psalms 18, verse 2. Here we go. "The Lord is your rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be safe from my enemies. The sorrows of death, they have compassed me. And the floods of ungodly men make me afraid. The sorrows of hell compass me about, and the snares of death even prevented me. That means have gone before me. Even the snares of death have gone before me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I called upon my God. He heard my voice. It doesn't say this here, what I'm going to say, but out of the Caribbean, he heard my voice. Out of his temple, my cry came before him, even unto his ears. Isn't that incredible? And then she continued on, beginning in verse 16. He sent from above and he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those which hate me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented and went in front of me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. Amen. Isn't that incredible? So the Lord is my stay. That's why I say, thanks be to God. Amen. Thanks be to God. Only to finish this story, the medical professionals could not believe she was alive. In fact, they told me, they said to her, ma'am, you should have bled out in the boat. They say that being alive does not make sense medically. Because of the trauma of your arm, nothing was should have been able to fully prevent with you not having a proper tourniquet, that 30-minute boat ride. They said, all I had was a salty beach towel to stop the bleeding, but the Lord had his mercy, and he worked powerfully upon me to prevent and to keep me so much that I did not even require a blood transfusion. After all of this, there was no transfusion. Isn't that incredible? She says, since that day in June, I've had 4 surgeries. My family has had to establish a new normal. There's bumps along the way, but God has been so good to me to cover my mind with his peace, his love, and his strength. From the very beginning, when the attack happened, one of the prayers that I prayed in the boat was, God, use this since the attack. I've seen God use my story over and over again to show people who he is. I cried many tears in thankfulness that he chose me to carry this burden and trusted in me. She says, I am thankful to God. Thanks be to God. What am I trying to say? Yes. Dios, gracia, gracias. Thanks be to God because of what he has done. She says, I'm so thankful that he chose me. So I'm curious about something. You don't have to raise your hand. But are you truly thankful that God uses you and chooses you, even in the hard places? Could I see your hands? You know, the next thing ought to be with your lifted hand, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. So go back to Corinthians, if you will. I didn't have you there, but I need you in Corinthians to finish this up. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. We know this probably as the resurrection chapter. Paul speaks very profoundly in this chapter. He talks about the certainty of Christ's resurrection. He tells us things in this chapter that we identify and understand because we know how powerful the resurrection was. But I want to say this. Paul says this, be to God his victory. Thanks be to God for his victory over death. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Let me read beginning in verse 15 or 55. Listen to this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But, say but. Verse 57, look at it. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. I was told, and I've said this before, I had to know how many people was probably buried in the cemetery here. And this was probably like 8-10 years ago I asked that question. And someone who actually was part of the city found out. And at the time they said, Pastor, we think there's about 7,000 that have been placed in interment in the cemetery here in St. Mary's. It's quite a few. I'd like to declare that every person in that cemetery that knows Jesus, thanks be to God. Amen. Look at 57 again. Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. I don't know, but I'm telling you this. Thanks be to God for the victory over death, hell, and the grave. Without his power, there would be no hope. Here's my next two, and I close with these. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look at this. Chapter 2, verse 1. But I determined this with myself that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that makes me glad? Be the same which is made sorry for me. I need you now to go down, if you will, to verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to us of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus, my brother, but taking leave of them, I went thence to Macedonia. Verse 14. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor or the smell, the aroma of his knowledge by us in every place. What is Paul saying? He's saying that God, who has the power to spread his victory through all of our lives, now thanks be to God, which always will cause us to triumph in Christ. I don't know if you're battling the devil this morning. I don't know if you got any tests or trials, but I want to tell you that in it all, now, thanks be to God. Amen. That always causes us to triumph. Amen. Amen? Amen? Always causes us to triumph. What does that mean? That means I'm not telling you that. The Lord is telling you that. So no matter what the test, no matter what the trial, no matter how strong or how trite, now thanks be to God that always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I don't hear you madly turning to 2 Corinthians 9, but I need you to. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Oh, let me start the verse prior. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Now notice this, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Paul has been addressing in chapters 8 and 9 about Corinth, the church in Corinth, literally blessing him and ministering to his needs. And so he comes back in chapters 8 and 9 and he talks to them about giving and what a blessing it is to give and how if you give, it's better to give than to receive. Or better to give than receive. And he's talking about that to them, and he's just blessing them. And then all of a sudden, he comes to the end of this verse in chapter 9. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. So what he's saying is, for two chapters in this letter, I was telling you how wonderful it is as you give and I receive, and what it is to give and to bless others. And he's talking about that in the 8th and 9th chapter. Then he says, but let me tell you the ultimate. What's even greater than giving of your resource? He says, here it is. But now thanks be to God, which actually is the unspeakable gift of God, Christ Jesus, his Son. There is not a greater gift than Jesus, the Son of the living God. Do you believe that? There isn't, church. If our church does nothing else other than this, and that is we find many coming to Christ, and we're able to honor this verse, really, to where it says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And we can give out the gift of God, the gift of salvation, the gift of hope through his Son. We've accomplished just about everything you can. Now, I know there's much more, for there's much more in the power of the Spirit and throughout the life of Christ moving in a sovereign day as he wants to pour out. But I'm telling you this, don't ever forget that we should be thankful to Jesus the Lord all by himself. Close your Bibles. If I said to you, I want you to choose what you're going to do in being thankful. And I said, you can be thankful for anything you want to. What would you do? It would be my hope and prayer this morning that you would be thanks be to God for Jesus, your Son. Yeah. Amen. When push comes to shove, I see nothing greater than that. Amen. Thanks be to the Father for his Son. Amen. God is so good, is he not? Praise God. You have your Bibles closed? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you this morning. I'm so grateful for your church and for the works that you do in us. I ask that, Lord, that we would just come to this place in our lives, that we would be so willing to recognize these words, Es Deo Gratia. Lord, the phrase in Latin that simply says, thanks be to God. May every time, Lord, we come to thanksgiving, may you be pleased with our voice, pleased with our hearts. And even though this phrase occurs 5 times in these 3 books, may it occur and be in our heart every day of the week. May we be thankful. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Oh, Lord, I love you. And I pray that, Father, that as we conclude and prepare to conclude this service, that we would be a gracious and a thankful people. And I ask that, Lord, that there is nothing that will keep us from you but draw near to you through thankfulness. I give you praise, gratitude, and heart of thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Please rise.